The title, as she said, is Transitioning from Deviance to Acceptance of Youth Condom Use, Qualitative Findings from Rural Kenya. And I'd like to acknowledge the co-author, Paula Tavro, who's here in the audience. She's a faculty member at UCLA School of Public Health. And the study is actually based on data that was collected for as part of an evaluation of a program called the Youth for Youth program in Western Kenya, which is a comprehensive reproductive health program that focuses both on education and improving access to reproductive health services for youth. And so the program is coordinated by Albert Obui and Vidalin Omolo. So just to for a brief introduction, as you know, HIV has a very young face, especially in Africa. As we know, about half of all new infections that are occurring right now in sub-Saharan Africa are occurring in the age group of people who are under the age of 25. And sub-Saharan Africa actually is home to about two-thirds of all young people, all the HIV, people who are living with HIV between the ages of 15 and 24. And the predominant strategy of preventing HIV among and AIDS among youth has been based on the ABCs, which, as many of you know, A usually stands for abstinence, B stands for be faithful, and C stands for condom use. And the way this has often been implemented is that A, abstinence, is targeted towards young people in relation to also within the context of norms about youth not engaging in premarital sex. And then be faithful is usually targeted towards people who are married and is actually not very relevant for youth because most of these youth may not be in monogamous relationships. And C, which is condom use, is often targeted towards sex workers or people who are considered to be very high risk for AIDS and HIV, and has not often been targeted towards youth because of the ambivalence about youth sexuality in many of these areas in Africa. So this graph shows youth condom use in Africa by giving an example of rates in five countries, and this shows the percent of youth, of all sexually active youth. It shows the percent of male youth between the ages of 15 and 19 who used a condom during their last sexual encounter. And as you know, the Demographic and Health Survey, which is what this is based on, is done in different years in different countries, but usually at an interval of 5 years. So the orange bar shows the first time period, which is between 1996 and 2000 for each of these countries. And then the darker bar shows the time period, which is 5 years later, and this ranged from 2001 to 2005. So as you can see on this, there is a slight improvement, slight increase in youth condom use, but you can see that it's not very great. And also, the overall, you'll see that the rate is still below 50% in all of these countries. So this makes us question why are youth not using condoms, especially within the context of the AIDS pandemic and with all the increase in knowledge about how to prevent HIV/AIDS. Okay, so as we try to answer this question, we think about what are the barriers towards youth condom use. And so the general barriers that have been cited by adult males, which include the fact that condoms may reduce pleasure, that it may be inconvenient having to have a condom at that time and needing to carry it around, and that it may interrupt the sexual act to actually put the condom on, and that there's a financial cost related to this. But then, so these are barriers that would also be relevant to youth, but there are also additional barriers that are specific to youth. And these include access and deviant labeling and social sanctions. And in terms of access, there's been many examples of youth, especially in rural parts of Africa, where a youth can go to request a condom from a health worker or a nurse and may actually be denied the condom or be discouraged from using condoms because it's associated with having sex, and the norm may be that youths are not supposed to have premarital sex. And then we'll talk a little bit more about this deviant labeling and social sanctions. So in terms of, from the findings of our study, we found that we were able to draw some important implications from deviance theory. And deviance is defined from this theory as departures from norms that draw social disapproval and may elicit negative sanctions. And so the implications that we were able to draw from this are that deviance is seen as something that's relative. It's something that depends on the norms, and the norms themselves are often changing. And so for us, it's important to understand how these norms are changing so that we can see why youth condom use may be seen as deviant or not deviant over time. And then also, it may help us to understand why some of the strategies based on ABCs may not be as effective, because we can see that by focusing the message of only the message of abstinence towards youth, you may end up having labeling of youth who are using condoms as being deviant, because they're not they're basically not adhering to the norm. And so this might also end up legitimizing some of the sanctions that we were able to see from our findings, including punishment from schools or parents. So we, the three main goals of the study, first to identify what the norms are in this society, especially the norms related to that are related to viewing youth condom use, and that may lead to youth condom use being viewed as deviant behavior, and also to see what are the transitional norms, what are the norms where we can see that youth condom use is being seen as something that's non-deviant and something that's more normal or something that's more positive, and then to make some recommendations about how to reduce penalties and deviant labeling. So the study took place in western Kenya. The arrow shows you where Bungoma District is in western Kenya. This is a rural society, and it has a population of about 1 million, and about 60% of the population is below the age of 20, and the adult HIV prevalence in the area is about between 6 and 8%. And the way we conducted this study was there were 31 focus groups that were conducted, and they were stratified by region and also by the role of the participant. And I'll go through the categories of the different people who were who participated in the focus group. So they were held in three rural sublocations of Bungoma District between July and August 2005, and they were approximately 1.25 hours, and they were conducted in English. And so we analyzed the focus group information using MaxQDA qualitative software. So all of the focus groups were transcribed, and we were able to bring in this all of the transcribed focus groups into MaxQDA and analyze them by doing a content analysis in which we derived codes, and we were able to code each section of every comment. And then from there, we were able to look at what the themes were by developing clusters of the different codes. So although the focus groups covered a range of different issues related to adolescent reproductive health, we're mainly focusing here on only three questions that were part of the focus group. So the questions are, if a school finds a youth with condoms, what should this school do and why? If a boy who is about to become head boy is found with condoms, should the school still make him head boy? Why or why not? And just to define the term head boy, in many areas in Africa, and a head boy is somebody who is appointed by the school, by the teachers and the administration of the school. Here it might be, I guess the closest example would be maybe a class president. So it's somebody who is a liaison between the administration and teachers and the students. And so the person kind of has, oversees like all the aspects of the students' lives while they're at the school. And so it's somebody who's a role model in the school. And the third question was, if a boy goes to a health center and asks for condoms, should the nurse try to discourage him from playing sex? Why or why not? And as I mentioned, the focus groups had different. We made sure that it was many different participants were included. So as you can see here by the categories, the participants included primary school students, secondary school students, peer educators, and these were high school students who were trained as peer educators as part of the Youth for Youth program to deliver information and education about related to reproductive health. Also, primary school teachers, secondary school teachers, parents, church leaders, and health providers. And you'll see the numbers of the participants in each of those groups, and you'll see that about half of them were male and about half were female. So this slide is a summary, kind of a summary of some of our findings relating opinions about youth condom use and looking by the type of the respondent. And so since this is not a quantitative study, the focus here is not on actual proportions. It's just meant to kind of show you the pattern of responses. And so the proportions are actually proportions of comments based on how we coded them. And as I mentioned, we were able to develop clusters of the codes, and we basically were able to identify four categories, which were the ones we labeled as positive, positive conditional, negative, and negative punitive. And I'll show you examples of each of these four, but basically positive are ones where people seem to have the view that youth should have condoms, they should be able to use condoms. positive conditional meant that they felt that you should have condoms or use condoms, but only in certain situations or only based on certain actor characteristics, so maybe if they're a certain age. And then negative were those where they seemed to feel that the youth should not have access to condoms and should not be using condoms. And negative punitive, they actually prescribed sanctions for the youth. They said that if youth are using condoms, there should be negative consequences. So at the bottom, you'll see the different categories by the role of the respondent. And where it says PAL, P-A-L, that's actually the peer educators. So when you look at this, you'll see, when you look at the blues, those are actually the more positive responses, and the red and orange, those are the more negative responses. So you can see that health workers actually had the most positive view of youth condom use based on their comments, and you can see that the groups that seem to have comments that were more negative towards youth condom use were church leaders, parents, and primary school students. And it's interesting that when you look at the role for PALs, even though we would have expected them to have more positive views towards youth condom use, because these are people who are trained to actually talk to other youth about reproductive health, they actually had more negative views than their fellow secondary school students. So that's interesting. And we also looked at this by gender, and we found that in general, male secondary school students were more likely to have more positive views towards youth condom use, while female students had more negative views. And the same thing with secondary school teachers, where males seemed to have more positive views and females had more negative views. So now I'm going to go through each of the different types of those four categories that I described, and just to give you a feel of the types of comments that we saw and how we were coding these. So I'll go through each one. So starting with negative punitive, the first is a comment made by a female peer educator. So this is a high school student who is trained as a peer educator. For mixed schools, there's a rule that prohibits love affairs. In that case, if he, a male student, is found with a condom, the interpretation will be that he is playing sex and therefore he should be punished or even expelled. The second one is made by a male health educator. When my son was in Cubby B Boys High School, he was found with condoms and I was called. We agreed with the teachers and we beat the boy. We have never seen him with them again. Even the teachers are saying he has now changed. And the third is made by a male secondary student. A boy, so found with condoms, should not be made the head boy because the school will think that this is encouraging sex. Other students will also follow his footsteps and the school will be in a mess. So here you can see some of the sanctions that are being prescribed, including punishing the students, beating the students, or if a student is a candidate for a position such as a head boy, not being given that position because he was found with a condom. Examples of negative from a male primary school teacher. In my shop, I have never seen a young boy coming to buy condoms. Therefore, if a boy in school is found with them, then that is a very dangerous human being. From a male secondary teacher, a school head boy should be a good leader and a role model to others. If he is found with condoms, then we as teachers will look at him as an immoral person, and even the students will not respect him. And from a male peer educator, by letting youth have them, condoms, it will encourage sexual activity in the school. The condoms are also not 100% sure, and the boy might want to have sex with more girls. And so here we see that even though here there wasn't a negative sanction, there wasn't a sanction associated with it, you can still see that it's being viewed as something negative because it's something that's related to being immoral, and it's something that seemed as using condoms will encourage sexual activity in the school. Some example of positive conditional, and this is actually what we were really interested in because we thought that these comments are the ones that actually helped us to see how the norms may be changing, and in which cases that people who may not have thought youth condom use to be something positive, maybe there are certain cases in which they think that this is the case. So the first is by a male primary pupil. The youth who's found with condoms should just be left in school and not punished because there are people who are HIV positive and they can force one into sex. If the boy is caught in such a situation, then he can just put on a condom and use it, and then he is not infected. From a male secondary teacher, they must be given condoms because youths are playing sex, and if they're not given, they will still go ahead and play sex. The nurse should give them condoms in order to save their lives. And from a male secondary teacher, I think the student should not be punished because these adverts are all over the media, and the interpretation is that he is taking care. As a school, we do not encourage condom use, but should but should also not punish a youth when found with it. And here you can see that the situations in which it seems like it's okay for a youth to use condoms are when it's to protect themselves in case of an emergency, or if the youth is having sex anyway, or because this youth is actually being careful by trying to use a condom. And some examples of the positive comments from a female health provider: previously, it was obscene to find a youth carrying a condom, but now it is normal. The only thing one has to understand is how to use them. Therefore, teachers should be open and free to talk to the youth in order to reduce the rate of HIV infection among the youth. And from a male primary pupil, the nurse should give him the condom since he is playing sex and the condoms are used for protection against disease. So now I'd like to kind of show you a summary that we, from based on our findings, in which we kind of looked at what the traditional norm was and what the transitional norm was, looking at some of these different themes based on. So we were looking at, we were able to draw the traditional norm from the majority of the comments, and then looking at some of these transitional views from some of the positive conditional comments that we talked about. So in terms of abstinence, the traditional norm seems to be that youth should abstain from sex until marriage, but the transitional view is that it's not realistic to expect all youths to abstain until marriage. In terms of morality, the traditional norm seems to be that condoms cause sexual immorality to occur, while the transitional view is that sexual activity is already occurring and having condoms doesn't increase sex. And I'll just read a couple more for the sake of time. So relating to sex, you can see that the traditional norm is that sex distracts youth from school, while the transitional view is that youths are interested in sex and they will pursue it regardless. And so our conclusions are basically that from our findings, we saw that there is the majority of the comments and of the respondents seem to consider condom use by youth to be deviant behavior. And this was related to viewing youth condom use as something that's going to cause immorality or that's going to encourage promiscuity. And we saw that a significant number and a significant theme that came across was that there actually should be sanctions that should be associated with youth condom use. But then on the other hand, we were able to see that there seems to be a transition occurring in the public's view, especially among the health workers. And so we can see that this is occurring where people are seeing that these youths are trying to protect themselves, that they're being careful, and that they may need them in terms of in the times of emergencies. And so we can see that there are some people who are getting accustomed to the idea of youths using condoms. So we have four main recommendations based on our findings. The first is to, in terms of developing new approaches to promote condom use. So based on our findings, we would recommend using messages that that kind of portray this idea of emergency preparedness, carrying a condom just, you know, in case something happens, and also trying to portray that it's something that that a normal youth would carry because they're trying to be safe. And so it's not something necessarily for a trendier, stylish youth, but something that a careful youth would carry, you know, something that because they're trying to be safe. And then also demystifying condoms in the community. And this might be something where you might be able to use some of the groups where we saw that had more positive views towards condom use, such as health providers and male youth. And so this involves basically demonstrating condom durability. There are a lot of comments about condoms having holes or that condoms actually carry the HIV virus. And training health providers, when they're providing services to youth, to actually, instead of the health providers being a barrier by asking questions about why the youth wants the condom and what they're going to use it for, to basically just concentrate, you know, to just make the condoms more easily accessible to the youth and just focus on proper use and disposal of the condoms. And lastly, discouraging schools from expelling or punishing youths who are found with condoms, because schools are interested in preventing pregnancy and preventing HIV and STDs among students. And so it's important to help them to see that this may be counterproductive because it's actually passing along a message that there's something wrong with trying to use carrying a condom or using a condom in order to prevent disease.